So, man, I'm so thankful. I'm so excited. How many have been excited about the series that we've been in called Made for More? Hopefully, it's been encouraging you. You've been seeing what God is actually doing and what he's shaping and called you to be. That is more than just somebody who comes in and participates on a Sunday. But there is so much more. That's really the call and the heart of this vision. If this is your first time here, let me just share who I am. My name is Elijah Shemenda. I have the privilege to be the lead pastor here, and so excited. Welcome here. If this is your first time, make sure to get visitor's cards over. We got a gift over you for you at the visitor table over there. But I am excited because in this series, we are trying to make shifts. From the way that we think church is supposed to be to the way that God is calling the church to truly be, what he originally intended. So, just to give you a quick recap, week one, we talked about Jesus is more, right? Jesus is more because what does Paul say in Ephesians, right? That all authority has been given to Jesus who conquered sin and the grave. And so, because all authority has been given to him, that means everything else is underneath his feet. And guess who his feet and his arms and his body is? It's us, the church. We are his body. And because we are connected to Jesus, the authority and the privileges that the head has, the body has, right? Because anything that's disconnected from a head is a scary sight. Can we be honest? And so we are invited to be made, that we are made for more, that we are his masterpieces. We talked about in Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 3, we said that God is calling the church because we are made for more. That God is calling the church to, which is made for more, to be more, right? That Jesus is more, that we were made for more, and now the God is calling and holding us accountable to be more. Then last week, Pastor Chad preached this message that if God is calling us to be more, that the church is then made to do more. And so we challenged you with the pay the tab, right? How can we do more? How can we be people now that we have reoriented ourselves to the right way of thinking, to engaging with the gospel, to what God has actually called us to be, right? Like, how can we reorient ourselves and do the good works that God has called us to? Not out of some type of feeling that we have to do it. No, because we know that we are in right standing with God, and the natural fruit that comes from believers is good fruit. And so we extend that this week. We are talking about that the church is made to go more. The church is made to go more. Do you know there's not a lot of things that stop me from going? I am a workaholic. My wife has to tie me down all the time. I'm constantly thinking of work. But the one time when I stop is when I am asleep. Y'all, man, I love me some sleep. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know how much I really love sleep until I started having kids. And then, like, you know what I mean? I stopped sleeping. Any parents in the house can say amen to that. Like, I'm like, man, there was a time when I actually woke up and I felt rested. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about the kind of sleep where my wife literally has to kick me because Lake Michigan, I'm not in Buffalo anymore. Lake Michigan is literally just puddling out of my mouth. You know what I mean? I'm just, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm talking to Deacon Pillow and Pastor Blanket. You know what I'm saying? I'm just having my own service, like fully tucked in, sleep. I enjoy it. Like I really enjoy it. But there's a type of sleep which is a little weird. I don't like it so much. It usually happens around 5 a.m. in the morning now that my son, you know, is walking and talking. And he usually comes in and he busts through the door. And when he busts through the door, he's like, hey, guys. I was like, oh, my God. And, you know, and so, like, I pop up, you know, and I'm like, it's the type of sleep where you're like 20% awake, but you're more like 80% asleep. You know what I'm saying? And everything is like, what is going on here? And all of a sudden, somebody out there is saying to me, hey, guys, Paw Patrol? And I'm like, what? Daddy Paw Patrol? And I'm like, I'm shaking my wife. Hey, honey, get this boy's daddy so that he can get in Paw Patrol. And she's like, that's you. You better wake up. And like, man, I mean, this is the kind of sleep where you're just kind of like in a fog. Anybody ever had that kind of feeling? That fog, that stupor, that you're not really awake, but you're really more asleep, and you're kind of in that space. I want to argue for us this morning that the Western church has been in the stupor for a very, very long time. That we have been in this stupor, believing that God will use us, but we are not truly, really awake. We're kind of just going through the motions like zombies, right? Just trying to get our bearings. See, this stupor is the type of stupor that creates lazy believers. The type of believers who want what they want on their timetable without having to do anything. It's the type of stupor that doesn't allow believers to invest in one another. It's the type of stupor that creates believers that get upset when you try to speak into their lives and hold them accountable, right? It's that kind of place, right? That builds that we end up running away and saying, when people are trying to care for us and love on us, we say, oh, that church gave me church hurt. And here it is. Church hurt is real. Let me make this disclaimer. Church hurt is real. I have been in the church for a very long time. Church hurt is real, and an overflow church, I want you to know, I promise, as long as I'm the lead pastor here, we take that seriously, right? Not only will we address it, but we'll do everything that we can in our power to reconcile, right, whoever has been hurt by the church. But here's also something that's also true when it comes to church hurt. I heard this from a pastor, and I felt like I really want to share this, so I'm going to get off on my soapbox for a second. I am not perfect. I am a broken person trying to figure out every day what it looks like to follow Jesus well. Just in case you're like, amen, pastor, we know that you're not perfect. Hey, guess what? You are not perfect. Right? Like, you're just as broken as I am. You're just as much trying to figure it out like me. Hey, guess what? If you're like, okay, yeah, we're broken people, but the disciples were broken people. If you don't think that in the early first century church that people were hurting each other, then you just have not been around people. That's what people do. Broken people, hurt what? People. And as long as you're in community, like, you're going to hurt each other, and there's going to be things that you step on each other's feet, and you have to try and figure out and work out. But the difference that we see in the first century church is that those disciples, even through all their hurt, what did they do? They kept their eyes on Jesus. And there is this strange thought that we demand a grace from people, right? As if that you're the only person who deserves grace and nobody else can have grace, even though we are working through this process together. See, this is the problem when we are in a stupor, is that we want things on our timetable the way that we want it, and then darkness begins to grow and light is pushed back and we are not active, because then we start doing things like looking for the only thing that can make me feel good on my timetable and when I want it. And the church is so much more than that. You find people becoming church attendees instead of participating in the mission of God, or even worse, you truly stop utilizing the gift and the talent that God, the master craftsman, has placed specifically in you for his master plan. So the big question for us this morning that we are going to unpack is that, how are you asleep or awakened to what God is calling you to become? Are you asleep or awakened to what God's calling you to become? You see, we tend to believe if we are doing more stuff, then we're okay, right? Like if the more stuff that we do that somehow Jesus has said it's okay because we are perfectly doing this thing, and so we check these religious boxes, these weird religious boxes that basically programize how we function and live and engage with Jesus and the world. And this is what we do. You know what I'm talking about. You'll show up on a Sunday. It's like, well, I came to church this Sunday. Check. I'm doing stuff. I volunteered today. Check. Next week, I'm going to do a service project, and I'm going to help dig up the leaves and the shrubs. Check. And listen, I'm not saying those things are bad, because we're going to need you next week. I'm just letting you know. But the truth is, all the while we're doing these things, which are good, the scary truth is that activity does not mean you are awake. It just means that you're in a stupor if you're not participating in what God has called you to participate in. You can be busy going on about what you think church is, but you are not doing what the master craftsman has designed you to. All you are doing is just spinning your wheels. If you don't believe me, look at the church in Ephesus. When Paul writes this letter, by all accounts, the church in Ephesus is crushing it. Like they're meeting together, they're breaking bread, they're making actual headway in what was like... Ephesus in the ancient world was basically the equivalent to New York City in America. Bustling economies were basically centered around it. Like, it was beautiful. People would come to come and see Ephesus because the cities were so beautiful. And so they were engaging that lost world well. And Paul here is encouraging them. He says, men, keep up the good work. And there's people which were trying to infiltrate and get them to go off the picture, right, that God had placed them on mission. And so Paul is saying, keep going, keep doing your thing. But from the time we see the church at Ephesus being introduced to the book of Revelation, in Revelation Jesus is saying, I will take your lampstand off of its place. What has happened in between the time Paul writes this letter to John has a vision from God saying that you will no longer participate if you don't go back to your first love? What is actually happening in this picture? See, I truly believe that they just went about the business of kind of going through the motions. They went about the picture of just kind of going through the motions. Hey, we're going to show up, we're going to do our thing, and then we're going to go back about our way. We're going to be insular in the way that we engage with one another, and we're not going to be active in the way that we are mobilized to go do the mission of God. Paul is pleading here in the text. He is saying that you who are the children of God were once in the dark. But Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, and so you've been given light. He says, live as people of light. What a beautiful picture he invites us to. And then he says this, awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake. Stop going through the motions. Stop acting like it's okay to just come in here and participate sometimes when God has built and wired you specifically to be his hands and feet. Remember in chapter 1, we talked about this. Paul literally says that we are the hands and feet of Jesus, that we are Jesus' presence everywhere, affecting everything at all times. So why would we cap ourselves in a box? Why would we not be active? Why would we not be engaged? This is what we are invited into text. He says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I'm reminded of a story by a young lady who worked at InterVarsity. And I don't know about you if you know what InterVarsity is. InterVarsity, for those of you who don't know, is a college parachurch ministry. And so during that time, she was trained how to engage the secular world, because I don't know if you know this, but most secular colleges are some of the most godless areas like in our country right now. And so she was engaged. She wasn't like talking down to them. She was engaging them well. She was living in that space. She was learning how to work. She was learning how to live with people and to share the gospel. And God used her ministry greatly. And this lady, her name is Keisha Polano. Basically, she leaves that space and then enters into the real world after college. And she wants to join a local church because, like, she's so fueled with the mission of God. Like, all right, I'm ready to engage. I'm ready to do more. Right? Like, I have been wired for this. She goes into the local church. And as she gets into the local church, after a couple years, she finds that she doesn't have a place. Listen to her words. This is what she says. I wanted to get involved. I wanted to do something. The only options that were available were singing on the worship team, kids ministry, or women's ministry. There has to be more. God is doing more in me. And it doesn't fit the parameters of this options. Is there anything else? You see, what she's not saying is that volunteering is bad or serving in ministry positions are bad. What she is saying is that if she's only serving once a week for an hour and having to wait till the next week to serve again, then ministry is programized and confined to an hour on Sunday. And this is what we've done in the Western church. We've come to see who's the special speaker who's going to hit a home run and hopefully, like, they can do ministry. But Chad preached it a couple weeks, right? We are trying to shift from more hierarchy to what? Right? We're trying to move from more hierarchy to more missionaries, to more people which are engaged with the mission of God. Why are we saying that it's all left on the feet of one person? Or the couple few, or the special few, when God has said he has specifically gifted us. This is what we've been talking about. He has specifically gifted us to good works. Each one of us are unique masterpieces made by a master craftsman to do good works. That's what it says in Ephesians. But we have decided that it's all on us. It's all on the special few. So we sit back in our seats and we just check in our boxes, and it's about the programs. You see, what Keisha realized is that that worship and all those things which are good and well are merely just pieces of the puzzle. That in fact, God had created her for more. You see, she was built by a master builder and created to do the unique, one-of-a-kind masterpiece work, right? And she had to go beyond Sunday, beyond the building, beyond the 1 hour a week to the 160-plus hours that were waiting outside that Sunday service. That she had to be activated to something so much more. She was choosing to live a life activated to be a part of God's plan in filling all things everywhere with his presence and not confining it to a building. The church is radically different when we have a movement of all people activated on purpose. The church is radically different. How do we do that, though? How do we do that when all we do is we say, how can the church move us to one direction? How do we do that when God is calling us to be a people which are activated and moving on purpose, y'all? This is 90% of the churches that we pass by every week. I want to be honest. I didn't say this week. Can I be honest with you? Our church model right here, right now, as is, not what it was, I can only speak of my time here, is operating as just a place where we gather on Sundays. And I want to say this as the pastor of this church. Shame on us. Do you know that our building is only built to really operate once a week for only a couple hours a week? But the mission is ongoing. It's every day. And we have people here which have been gifted with good gifts from their maker to do good works and to push back darkness. Paul says to us which were once in darkness, awaken, O sleeper. Why are we asleep when you have been given the light that literally pushes back darkness? Why are we asleep? This is the challenge that we have to engage with. You see, for us, this is the big thing that we need to understand, that the ministry and the mission that God has gifted many of his people for will not fit in the programs of the church. They will not fit in the programs of the church. In this building, we have people which are gifted, people which are working, just everyday jobs from, you know, whether it's at a grocery store or at a gas station or whatever it is, to people which are working in city government, to people which are working at Whirlpool as an executive, whatever, everything, whatever in between. Like, we have people which are actively doing it. And if we're not utilizing the gifts that God has given us and the influences that God has given us, then we are falling asleep. Then we are literally actively in a stupor. Those gifts need to be activated in the spaces where you're at, because that's where you're at the majority of the time. Do you know that there's 168 hours a week? How can we render down what God wants to do in the world to just 1 hour on one day? I have a dream. I said this earlier. I understand somebody else had a dream way more important than me. But I too have a dream for our church. And I want to share it with you. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm actively working for it to happen. But I have a dream that our church would start a community garden. I'm actively working to see if we can buy this plot of land back here behind Fairplane Middle. I've been in talks with the superintendent of the schools here, engaging with them, because I want to see if we can start community garden. You might be sitting here saying, like, wait a second, there's already a couple of community gardens in the community. Well, first thing, you can never have enough community gardens, so I just want to put that out there. all my gardeners are like, amen, yes. More tomatoes, more squash. Thank you, Jesus. No, all right. Like, you can never have like enough. But the vision with this community garden is that it would actively engage and employ kids in the neighborhood. Because this is what's going on in our neighborhood, right? Just right here in our backyard, there are kids which during the summer or during these seasons when their parents are working, they find themselves not knowing what to do. And with endless time. And when you have endless time, guess what you do? You get into endless trouble. You get influenced by people which don't want to give you good, but actually want to see great harm come to you. And so what we want to do is we want to employ these kids, right? We want to pay them to work. We want to. I'm working to get a kingdom curriculum together that teaches them about Jesus as well. Also teaches them how to actually balance a checkbook. How to work a budget, right? How to engage with the things of this world, right? In a wise way. How to be mentored. Like I want to actively participate in pushing back darkness. You know, when if you teach someone how to do these skills, you can literally stop generational poverty in their life because they now understand how to work money. Like this is how we can engage, this is how we can be an active presence in this community. And my heart is that we will be able to do that. I have been working towards that end, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait, and I'm praying, I'm hoping by September I'll be able to give you some good news about some of this stuff. We'll see. Do you notice in that, I didn't say, hey, And so I need some pastors, I need a worship leader, and I need a sound man and a camera to do that dream. No, I didn't say that, did I? What I actually need for this dream to become a reality and to become effective, that we get to push back darkness, right, is what I need is I need some people which know how to farm. I need some people with some green thumbs. Listen, I have like the thumb of death. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I don't even understand why when I give my wife flowers on Valentine's Day, they're like dead in 2 days. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that works. But I need some people which say like, hey, I know how to do that. I need some accountants that will give their time so that they can help teach people how to actually budget. I need some business people that can help put this business plan together so that it can be a viable model. I need some teachers which will say, hey, I'm going to volunteer my time to be able to engage with these kids. And when all these gifts, which are literally sitting in this room right now, are activated, guess what? We push back darkness. But what happens when all these gifts are literally just sitting here watching one person do it? Darkness pushes back light. This is the challenge, church. We cannot say, God, you are doing something or you are moving if all we do is come here and sit and watch when God has made us for so much more. That's all right. Y'all ain't got to preach with me. I'll preach it to you. When God has made us for so much more. And the world, the book of Romans says this, I believe it's in chapter 8, it says that the all creation waits with eager anticipation for the children of God to be awakened. It's waiting for you to be active, to engage, to love people past yourself, to use the gifts that God has uniquely put inside of you. That thing that makes you wake up. That thing inside of you that you don't even need to be paid for, but you'll do it because you love it so much. That's the gift that God has put inside of you. I was joking with Noah today because, like, man, I've literally turned off the notifications from the running emails because I ain't running. I'm sorry. You know, they got like 20 people. They can find me a Dunkin' Donuts or whatever. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have like 20 people. These guys are passionate about running. They're running half marathons and all that. I don't even know how long a half marathon is. But they are passionate about it, and they're having these awesome Jesus conversations, and they're learning more about the people that are in their community, and what's happening. They are being activated by the gifts that God has naturally planted inside of them, and by that they just push back darkness. What is the thing? What is the masterpiece, master plan that God has placed in you that is ready to be awakened from its slumber? What is it? Why are you sitting there in a stupor? Awake, O sleeper, Paul says. Awake, O sleeper. What is that thing? I'm just thinking right now, as I saw Barb today, She was able to grab a couple of folks from our church, along with I think something like 97 or 90 something people, and they were painting the school at Fair Play Middle. What is that thing? She is passionate about seeing those kids over there be loved, cared for, cherished, have a value, be treated like they deserve to be treated, as if they have value and worth, because they do have value and worth, because the master built them, also built them with the master gift inside of them as masterpieces for a master plan. And how is it that we as a church can fall asleep in a stupor on our guard as we allow the dark wind to strip their worth away from them? Awake, O sleeper, Scripture says. Awake, O sleeper. For us to make this move, that means we're going to have to make a shift. We're going to have to make a shift. We're going to have to make a shift from more programs to more mission fields. From more programs to more mission fields. This is it, guys, right? Like, more programs says, how can I schedule Jesus in? More mission fields say, how is Jesus operating in my life every second of every day? More program says, if the church doesn't do it, then it's not going to be done in our community. Somebody else has got to do it. More mission fields says, how has God wired me to fill the gaps that are missing in my community? More program says, I'm going to sit and watch. More mission fields say, I am an active participator in pushing back darkness by bringing light to every nook and cranny of territory where God has set my feet. That means at my job, at the coffee shop, where I play. This is what that means. Awake, O sleeper, Paul invites us to not live a life asleep in a stupor, right? Just waiting for all this stuff to burn away and that we can be whisked off to glory with Jesus. Actually, God is inviting us to bring heaven and earth together. That this place can feel like heaven. That's what he's talking about here in this text. I love Rob Wagner and the folks who contributed to this book, The Made for More. This is what he writes to us. This is what he says. He says, the people of God have already been sent and placed strategically by Jesus. The mission begins by expressing the fullness of Jesus where we live, work, study, and play. Every disciple is a missionary with unique a mission field, which becomes a personal mosaic of the mission. All those overlapping mosaic of the mission are Jesus' plan to express his fullness into every corner of culture and into every sphere of society. Each mosaic significantly extends the footprint of fullness. Our goal is to embrace our mission field and make the most of every opportunity to express the fullness of Jesus to others. We were made to go more. The church was made to go more. Why are you asleep? Paul says it. Awake. Awake. Awake, O sleeper. Let's pray. Father God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, because you are worthy. Forgive us, Lord, that we have been asleep at the wheel. Forgive us that we have taken the gifts and the talents that you've placed in us and we've been selfish with them. We've made money off of them. We've benefited from them, but we've never given them back to you. We've said it's enough to sit in these seats and watch, and as other people are utilizing their gifts for the kingdom. Forgive us, Jesus. I pray right now for this community as a whole, Lord, that we would collectively choose to wake up and to shift our mind from more programs to more mission fields, because you have made us for more. In Jesus' name we pray.